And it is 1:32. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Brain. We're breaking into our programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. Since last Friday, we've seen an increase of 1,078 new cases and 15 deaths for a total of 19,818 total and deaths at 264. Now we go live to Governor Hutchinson.
Today's COVID-19 daily update. I'm pleased to be joined by Secretary Nate Smith, as Dr. Jose Romero is here as well, and Director A.J. Geary was on the line shortly ago, and he informed me that we have received 50,000 additional N95 masks based upon our state procurement efforts, and we've received over 10,000 N95 masks also from FEMA. So I don't mention our PPE that much, but that goes to show that it continues to come into the state of Arkansas, and we continue that effort. This morning I had a conference call with various governors, as well as with the vice president and the other members of the coronavirus task force, and that was an instructive call. We talked about ways that we can expand testing to hotspots, but across the nation, and we did talk about hotspots from Texas and also Arizona. Then we also talked about behavior, and a number of the governors went through, what has changed in behavior, it seems, over perhaps the last couple of weeks, which has caused a great deal of concern about compliance with social distancing orders and whether people has just got pent up and wants to get out, and they've lost some of their concentration on this. But we talked about ways that you can enhance everyone's compliance with what is common sense orders that really should be well understood by the public, because there's been so much publicity on the importance of wearing a mask, of social distancing. We require that here in state government, where if you can't social distance, you have to wear a mask or a face covering. And those are just common sense requirements that we need to have in place. Whenever I look at our businesses, and I had a message from a businessman and just said, would you please remind everybody that our livelihood depends upon the customers really doing the right thing. And that is protecting themselves and protecting others and not putting the business in a difficult position. And so that's really what we ask everyone, is that as we get back to business, as we grow our economy, as we support our local businesses, we have to be smart about it to avoid other consequences that you're seeing crack down in some other states. And so that would be my message today, is shop. Wear a mask, support your local businesses by wearing a face covering. And now let's go to the cases. And this is the first in 3 days since last Friday. And each day we've seen over the weekend two declines in our case reports of new cases. And so let me give you today's report. Yesterday we had 19,818 cases. We have an additional 439, which, as you can see, is a decline from the two previous days. Total case now is 20,257. So yes, we've reached the 20,000 mark in cumulative cases. In terms of hospitalizations, we had an additional 7 hospitalized, which brings us to 300. In terms of deaths, we have 1 additional death. That brings us to 265. Of the 439 new cases in Arkansas, Washington County had 92. Pulaski County had 56. Benton County had 48. Sevier County, 31. And Sebastian County, 22. The remainder of the counties were less than 20. So here again, the same concentration in really 5 counties that we see in Arkansas, and the rest under 20 in terms of their cases. If we go to the graphs, you can see our first graph, as we always do, is the number of new cases in Arkansas each day from the very beginning, March 11, going all the way through the last 24 hours. And if you go to the next one, you can see the 7-day rolling average. And here again, you can see the dip down. It flattened and it's dipping down because the last 5 days, actually, you've had a decline in the number of new cases, even though the three of them were fairly close there, but it has been a decline for the last 5 days. The question mark for Arkansas is whether we're going to be able to keep up that good work and see a consistent decline, or whether there's going to be a variation from that. In terms of the number of hospitalized, we still see that reaching the 300 mark, and hopefully as we see the new cases on the decline, we'll see some progress in the hospitalizations. And then you'll see the number of active cases in Arkansas that's flattened somewhat. And if we can have more go home from the and recover from this, then we'll see that number go down. And then the 7-day rolling average of new COVID cases in Arkansas by region. This is the multicolored chart, but you can see the trend lines, which is important. And of course, the most important trend line in terms of the largest number of cases is Northwest. And Northwest is in the orange. And you see the significant growth in cases with the beginning of the decline in new cases each day. If you go to the Northeast, which is the blue, you can see a little dip down. The red, which is the Southwest, is fairly level. And then the central is the yellow. And that's actually had a little bit of an upward trend, but flat right now. And then if you go to the next one, we'll go to our testing results. And here again, you can see the positivity rate remaining fairly constant, not as low as we'd like it to be. We'd like to get it back down under the 5% level, but we're well below the 10% level, which has remained constant since day one. You can see the trend line, and the next one actually is the number of tests that we've done for the month of June, and it's not over with yet. You can see where we've done 160,000 tests here in Arkansas over the month of June. And this is something, and now we're going to go back in history for a moment. This is an April slide. This is an April slide that was presented in here that showed the test on a per capita basis by different states. And so this is April of 2020. Where does Arkansas rank in per capita testing? And in April, you can see that we are in the lower tier. The yellow there where Arkansas, and you can see that Louisiana is the height. Of course, they had such a peak of cases there. They obviously expanded their testing. Tennessee, Mississippi, Florida, and on down to Arkansas. And then if you go to May, the next one, you'll see that Arkansas is just about the same position. Actually, I think we dropped one, or really tied with Alabama. And the two top states, of course, remain Louisiana, Tennessee, but Arkansas still is in the bottom tier. And then if you go to June, let's look at where we are in comparison with the other states. And here, you still have Louisiana and Tennessee as the top two states in per capita testing, but Arkansas has moved to third among Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Kentucky, South Carolina, Alabama, Texas, Missouri, and we did go ahead and add Kansas in there, as you can see, as to where their testing is on a per capita basis. This is simply to say we've made progress, we've got more to do. We'd like to continue to increase our testing, but it is a good success story that we've been able to expand testing to that level, which has given us one, new cases, but also a very clear idea as to where we need to do our contact tracing and isolation. Dr. Smith.
This is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith. You're listening to KYR 89.1.
Thank you, Governor. As the governor mentioned, we have had 439 new cases. 21 of those were in correctional facilities. 418 were community cases. So that brings our total to 20,257. We currently have, of those 20,257, 5,926 are active cases. 116 of those are in a nursing home. 583 of those are in a correctional facility. We have 5,227 active cases in the community, which is actually 20 fewer than we had yesterday. We have had a net increase of 17 in hospitalizations, bringing our total hospitalized to 300. We have 63 on a ventilator, which is a decrease of 3 from yesterday. And we, as the governor mentioned, we've had one additional death, bringing our total deaths to 265. We've had 14,066 recovered. That's an increase of 430 from yesterday. So our active cases are plateauing out as we have almost as many recovering as we have new cases. That's a good sign. The governor did mention the top counties. We are seeing progress in the northwest region of our state. We do have concerns, though, about the central region. And so although we haven't had an explosive increase in cases, we're going to have to be very vigilant in this central part of the state, because that's our most densely populated portion of the state, and especially going into 4th of July weekend. As the governor did mention, we have done well on testing. Yesterday, we tested 4,939 individuals, and the public health lab tested over 1,000 individuals. So we're going strong, and we'll continue to work to make testing as available as possible to as many in the state, particularly looking at our harder to reach communities where they may be cautious about leaving their community to go to testing sites. We're going to try and bring those testing capabilities as close to them as we can. I'm going to go ahead and keep my remarks short today, but turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. With that, we'll turn it open to questions.
What's to account for the rise in Pulaski County? Is there any one reason for that, or Central Arkansas?
Dr. Smith, do you have an answer to that?
We don't have a single event or source that we've identified at this point for the cases in Pulaski County. You know, we'll continue to look at that very carefully. You know, the Pulaski County is very densely populated, so even just sort of cases a number of small clusters can quickly add up to a significant rise. This should be a word of caution to all of us. Although we've been focusing our energy and attention on the northwest part of the state, we need to be vigilant here in the central part of the state, make sure that not just in Pulaski County, but the other counties in the central part of the state, that people are vigilant to use masks to avoid large groups and maintain the physical distancing. The danger of focusing on one part of the state is that people living in other parts of the state can think, well, maybe it doesn't apply to me. But COVID-19 doesn't really care where you are in the state, because we're having cases really throughout the state.
That was my question.
Yes.
Do you have any evidence as to what could be causing the new cases to decline?
Well, I would attribute it to, first of all, the fact that we've been able to isolate and trace a number of the cases in Northwest Arkansas. We had a concentrated effort of testing and trying to identify those and isolate those cases. It's taken some time, but I think that strategy is working. And then secondly, it's the constant effort by our community leaders to make sure that people wear masks, they understand the importance of that, and social distancing. That all combined effort is what gives you success, and I think you can specifically look at that in some of the decline in Northwest Arkansas. I would caution you that, you know, we don't know what this last weekend will bring. You know, not everyone behaved well over the weekend. And so it'll take a few days to see if there's any result from that. We hope not. And I expect when you look at where we are in cases that we'll have some spikes because, you know, it could be additional testing in a number of different facilities that we concentrate on that might bring the cases up again. But we do hope that our overall trend line will not go back up, but it'll be flat or be going down, most importantly.
Reports of poor behavior. We're heading into the 4th of July weekend. Is the state planning on taking any special measures to ensure that people are behaving properly over the 4th of July weekend?
Yes, the answer is, and we hope probably on Thursday, adequate time before the 4th, to give some words of encouragement to our Kansans about activities on the 4th, steps they can take to be safe and to avoid spreading the virus. In addition, as you know, last week I mentioned our ABC officers have been authorized to help the Department of Health in determining whether those with a liquor license, whether it's a bar or a restaurant, if they're failing to comply with their health guidelines. We want to know about it. We want the owners of the managers of the restaurants or bars to know about that. They've got to help us. As you can see from other states, that some governors have taken steps to close down and put more restrictions on, and we want to avoid that in Arkansas, but we have to have everybody's cooperation to do that, and so that will be part of the mix as well.
What were you referring to when you said people weren't behaving well?
When I said they weren't behaving well?
Yeah.
Well, there were some social media posts as to parties, different bars or restaurants that did not appear to be social distancing or wearing masks, and those are a concern. Whenever that's obviously discussed and watched, that's really what I was referring to. But everyone knows out there, whether there's been a party in your neighborhood or whether there's been a violation of social distancing, and we just want to avoid that and continue to remind people to do the responsible thing.
Is there a protocol for notifying the churches of they've got a case within their congregation? Because we've had several that have called us and say they weren't notified, and even one said they had the wrong location listed. A lot of those were in the northwest portion of the state.
I'll let Dr. Smith answer that very specifically, but in regard to the churches, one, they're doing a great job, and they're really working hard to protect their parishioners, but at the same time, have a meaningful worship service, and they've taken great precautions. But there's certain requirements that the Department of Health has had to respond to media inquiries on specifics that we did not give in our media conference, but there was a follow-up question about that, and because of the requirements of the law, some of those details were released. But Dr. Smith, did you want to comment further?
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith again.
Yes, when I talked about churches on Friday, I didn't mention any specifics. I did show a map, but no names were put on that map. With our businesses, we will report those that have five or more cases because if you have a venue, whether it's a church or a business that's open to the public, you very well may have someone come in who is who's infected asymptomatically, presymptomatically, otherwise. And that doesn't mean that that's where they got it or that there's transmission going on. So my intention would be that we would only highlight venues where we had a significant number of cases. But the request from the media was really for the entire list. I was informed by my legal counsel that that was subject to Freedom of Information Act. And so we went ahead and gave the list with an explanation that these are only, these are churches where people reported having been. It doesn't mean that there was transmission occurring there. And it's possible that someone may have taken that out of context, though. We've really only had a handful of settings in which we've had what we would call a cluster or where we would have evidence of transmission occurring. It was not my intention that an entire list would be used to suggest that any church that had someone who attended there who later tested positive would be targeted in any way. So the information was out there, but we did give an explanation.
And is that information that contact tracers gathered?
Yes, we ask a whole list of questions from our case investigations about where people have been. We want to try and connect those dots. And when we see patterns, then we dig deeper. And since we had a few situations in which there were clusters involved in places of worship, happened to be places of worship that had not been adhering to the guidelines we provided or had been adhering poorly. We've also, of course, had cases related to businesses associated with the poultry industry. We've talked about that before. We've been working with those businesses, try and make those safer, and we have actually seen some evidence of decrease there. Of course, we've seen clusters associated with nursing homes. We've been working with them closely from the beginning and reporting those on a daily basis. And then, of course, correctional facilities as well. If we identify additional areas that are where we're seeing specific venues where we're seeing transmission occurring, then we'll highlight that because it's important that those who are in charge of those venues know about it, but also that the general public does.
Health department email. It seems to suggest that there are some positive cases at the health department. Can you talk about that? And is there any belief that that may have contributed to any spread outside the health department?
Well, we have had a number of our employees test positive. Up to this point, we've not seen evidence of transmission within the health department setting. We did have a setting where we had an external vendor come in and one of the members of that team tested positive, so we have a number of our staff who have been potentially exposed. So far none have tested positive, but as we would do in any business setting, we've sent people home on self-quarantine.
Is there any question remotely?
Yes, Governor, good afternoon.
With AP.
All right, I hear Andrew DeMillo.
Yeah. Hey, Governor, I've got two questions for you, one non-COVID, one COVID. The non-COVID question, on ABC yesterday, you had made comments where you appeared supportive of the idea of moving a Confederate monument or monuments off of the state capitol grounds. I want to see, are you saying that you would sign legislation doing that if the legislature passed such a measure next year? And My COVID question was, you talked last week about how the state remains on hold right now in terms of further reopenings or rolling back restrictions. What numbers are you looking at to decide when to move forward with any more reopenings or rolling back restrictions?
Well, Dr. Smith and I will look at the numbers daily. There's a number of different criteria you can look at. But one of them, of course, is we want to continue to look at the lifting of restrictions and whether that has related to any new additional cases and the extent of that. And we want to look at also just the overall data of the state, which is our declining numbers of new cases. So a number of factors that go into that. I'll say this, that we've got further ways to go. And Dr. Smith and I, as we get together every day, that's not the lead topic of our conversation, is, you know, when are we going to get to lift some additional restrictions? The topic of our conversation is, how can we get these cases down? How can we do a better job of isolation and tracing? What more resources do we need? How can we encourage Arkansans to do the right thing? And so that's been the focus of our effort. I look forward to the time when we can start saying we need to have some conversations about when we can lift the restrictions again and further expand our economy, but we're not there yet. The other part of your question was related to my comments, and of course, my comments in reference to monuments and statues was simply in response to a question. Whenever you look at legislative action, everybody needs to have a priority. My priority when it comes to some of the tough issues of race relations and is to adopt a hate crime statute. There's one that the legislators are circulating, and if it looks good, I'll sign that. That's a priority of mine, as it is a priority for many legislators. There's other things that have to be debated, but the monuments are something that is a legislative decision when it comes to the Capitol. And there's a lot of discussion has to go into that. It may or may not be a priority of the legislature. I stated my opinion on it. Another question remotely.
Hi, Governor. It's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. Also a question about your appearance on ABC yesterday. You suggested an increase in the Defense Production Act for testing materials. Are you fearful that as states continue to ramp up like Arkansas is, that you'll find the state having to compete on the open market for testing materials like the early days of PPE?
That is a concern. I don't know whether it is totally a worthy concern or not, but whenever you look at the increased number of cases in very large population states like Texas and California and Arizona, whenever you look at everyone expanding the testing, you have to be somewhat concerned about whether the supply will keep up with that demand. And then anecdotally, if some of our commercial providers are having a longer period of time before they get back the testing result, that's an indication that their backlog is greater. And so that's some information that I have as well. So that leads to the concern, and just looking ahead, and I think we have to look ahead as a country, and we have to really mobilize to have the kind of level of test production and capacity that we need in our country. I think it's greater than what we have now. The question is, can our commercial labs keep up with that? And will our supply chain for testing supplies keep up with that? And that's where I want to make sure, I hope that the administration will be aggressive and utilize the Defense Production Act as they have with ventilators and other needs that we've had. Dr. Smith, did you have a comment on the testing side and your view on the needs there?
It's Health Secretary
Certainly.
Nate Smith.
In terms of the testing, the public health lab, we've ramped up our capability and we're doing well there, but we're still only a small fraction of the total testing. The commercial labs have also been going strong, but the problem is when they get a backlog, then you get these long turnaround times, and whether they have a backlog or not depends not just on the demand in our state, but the demand in other states. Where we really need to increase our capacity in the state is our hospitals. UAMS has been doing a good job. Many of our hospitals are testing, but they are limited by the available of reagents for the platforms that they have. And until we can get a good supply chain for some of those platforms that they have in their hospital labs, we will be limited in what our hospitals can do. And so that's an area where increased production for reagents for those platforms that are present in many of our hospital labs is what's needed to build our capacity.
Another question remotely.
Yes, Governor, this is Julian Eclipson, Brett, Channel 5 in Fayetteville. I have a question in regards to increased number as well as the expanding of testing. Looking at the data from last week, testing was expanded by about 1%, but cases were up by about 37%. Outside of increased testing, what factors do you believe are leading to the increase in cases across the state?
Well, I mean, of course, we've had an increase in cases, and I think that's a combination of factors. We've had a limited number of outbreaks in different facilities that's led to it. We've also had perhaps a complacency among some of the population that they thought maybe we're over this challenge with COVID-19, and nothing could be further from the truth. And so we've tried to make sure that we isolated the cases and we identified those. And I think that's had a good result, as you can see, with the cases going in a better direction. We've really tried to have a strong message to reduce complacency and to say we need to stay focused on this. And Dr. Smith, I wanted to see if you had anything to add to that.
Well, Secretary Nate Smith again.
You know, in simplest terms, COVID-19 being a respiratory virus, whenever people are breathing each other's air, there's the opportunity for transmission. And obviously more of that has been occurring because we've seen more transmission, more new cases. We know the things that we can do to interrupt that, wearing face masks for source control to filter out respiratory droplets by the person wearing the mask, and also maintaining that 6 foot of distance. But if people are not attentive to those two things in particular, then whether it's a work setting or a community setting or in the home, we will see transmission, and we have. And so those are the things that we need to each address individually, and those who are control of venues like businesses and other places where people gather to be very vigilant, minimize the spread of COVID-19 in those settings. That's what we need to do to decrease this transmission and decrease the number of new cases.
Governor, you mentioned part of your conversations with Dr. Smith is about encouraging Arkansans to do the right thing. My question is, do you think that they are following the guidelines and taking them as seriously now as they were in the beginning of the pandemic?
The answer is yes. In fact, I think it's dramatically increased. You look back at the beginning, and actually I thought of this, that you know, we had our first case March 11, we declared the emergency, but the mask issue and the recommendation on wearing masks didn't come until April. And of course, that caught everybody off guard, and everybody probably looked at me a little strange. And you know, I walked in here in April, and Dr. Smith and I with a mask on, trying to set the right example. And it's been a long learning curve as to the importance of it. And so, yes, I think we're far much better now than we were at the beginning, but also even I think we're better off now than we were a month ago, a month and a half ago. And, you know, I talked to a friend that I usually talk to in Northwest Arkansas, and he said it was a month ago, it was a third of those in a big box store that wears a mask. Now it's two thirds. And so we have made progress, absolutely, and people are taking it seriously. You always have some outliers, but I do believe we've made a great deal of progress there.
So where are we at in terms of adding contact tracers? And I guess twofold here. Are there any specific qualifications that we're looking for when it comes to hiring contact tracers for the state?
Again, I'll let Dr. Smith comment, but we have, we're trying to get in place the contract for a private sector partner to expand by 250 the number of contact tracers. In terms of the kind of person that does contact tracing, as I've said before, you want somebody that's good in talking to people, that can generate their confidence and know that their information will be properly used and that it's important for public health. And that's not just everybody who walks in the door that can have that kind of communication skill. Dr. Smith?
And Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
Absolutely. For our contact tracers, we do need people who want to do the job, who are good talking with people, who can keep information confidential, and are able to learn and pass on information accurately. We don't want people out there spreading misinformation because they had a misunderstanding. But in terms of specific skills, we do need a certain number who have a medical background. For example, nurses. We need a certain proportion of our case investigation and contact tracing team to have that medical background to answer those questions when they arise. We also need people with some specific linguistic skills. We need folks who are able to speak Spanish. We are looking for people also who can communicate with those from the Republic of the Marshall Islands, etc. So we do have some specific needs, but really the biggest qualification is those who have a passion for it, are willing to work hard, and are willing to learn the information and to pass it on faithfully.
I guess, just out of curiosity, how long does it take to train those folks up to finally get them out there?
How long it takes to train them depends a little bit on their background already. For example, RDIS, it took very minimal training because they already did that just with other communicable diseases. For people who will be hired as part of this new effort, likely they'll need a little bit more training, but we have this carefully scripted out so they don't have to make it up as they go along. And so if they have a background and are able to learn quickly, then we've been able to train volunteers in a week, for example.
Do you have any way to gather data through contact tracing about how many people who test positive were somehow not following the guidelines or involved with groups that weren't following the guidelines, not wearing masks, et cetera?
We don't have a perfect way of gathering information on that. We do ask some questions, but when we're doing our case investigations, the purpose there is to move forward, identify their contacts, make sure that we don't have ongoing transmission rather than trying to, gotcha or assign blame. So the main focus of our case investigations is to make sure that that newly diagnosed individual has the information they need to keep from spreading COVID-19 to others, and that we gather information on their contacts so we can get them tested and in quarantine.
Is there anybody remotely that has not asked a question yet? Anything else? With that, yes. Final question.
Asymptomatic positives, people who have tested positive who are asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic. Do the contact tracers know if someone has gotten, if disease has been transmitted by someone with no symptoms? Is that something a contact tracer can figure out?
The latter part of that question was, would a contact tracer know whether disease was transmitted by someone without symptoms, either asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic? The individual contact tracer may not know that information at that time. Their goal is to try and reach out to a potential contact, make sure they get tested, make sure they go into quarantine, and then get them in a system where they can report if they develop symptoms, our SARA alert system. So really those data are flowing in and are visible to those looking at the data, but maybe not to the individual contact tracer. In terms of asymptomatic, there are different ways of looking at that, so it gets very complicated. There are some who are categorized as asymptomatic and others where they just, we don't have data on symptoms, and so there's a very conservative definition for asymptomatic and a more expansive. But we do know that there are, a lot of those who are being tested now, likely the majority, don't have symptoms at the time they're being tested. but a certain number of those do go on to develop symptoms. But we can get you more detailed data. It just requires a more explanation than I think the governor or anyone else here has patience for.
Thank you all very much. Have a good afternoon.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just an update on the numbers that we heard today. The state has an additional 439 cases of COVID-19, bringing the state's total to 20,257. We have seen an additional 17 Arkansans hospitalized, bringing the total number there to 300. And we have seen one more death from COVID-19 here in the state that brought the state's total number of people who have died from COVID-19 to 265. And again, of the total number of people who have ever tested positive for COVID-19, that's 20,257. Of those, as of today, just under 6,000 are considered active cases. That's 5,926. We heard Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith saying a bit that the number of active cases, as it appears to him, is plateauing due to the large amounts of people who are recovering from COVID-19 here in Arkansas. Of the total 5,926 active cases of COVID-19, 116 are in nursing homes, 583 are in correctional facilities, and 5,227 are among members of the general public. And again, of the 439 new cases we saw today, the majority came from Washington County up in northwest Arkansas, as has been the case in recent weeks. 56 new cases from Pulaski County, 48 new cases from Benton County, also in northwest Arkansas, 31 from Sevier County, and 22 from Sebastian County. And we heard a bit from, again, Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith saying that the team from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that's been in northwest Arkansas for the past couple of weeks, really dealing with the large increase in coronavirus infections that we've been seeing there over the past few weeks. It appears they've actually been doing their job. Looks like the average, the 7-day rolling average of new cases in the Northwest region appear to be going down as of today, but there is a bit of a rise in cases in central Arkansas, according to the health department's numbers. So Health Secretary Nate Smith saying that it's not clear what is behind that rise. There's no exact outbreak, no event that they've traced that to yet. But again, that's a bit of a cause for concern there in central Arkansas. Again, you've been listening to the governor's live daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak. This is 89.1 KUAR. Tune in this afternoon to All Things Considered for a more in-depth rundown of the numbers that we heard. And again, during Morning Edition tomorrow morning. And you can find all of our coverage on the COVID-19 outbreak online at KUAR.org. This is KUAR News.